Today with Joseph Prince.
Jesus died for our sins, yes, but Christ also bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. You don't have to know so much to be saved. Just to know that He died for your sins and He rose again for your justification and confessing Him as your Savior and Lord, you are safe. That's all you need to know. But in knowing more about the Lord, in knowing the various aspects of the work of Jesus at the cross, you receive more of what He did for you at the cross. Amen. You and your families are able to enjoy all that He did for you at the cross. Jesus says to you, "Peace I leave with you, I bequeath to you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The blood of Jesus has fully met all the claims of God's righteousness and holiness from you and from your family. Hallelujah. All the demands and the requirements that a thrice holy God wants and demands and commands from you. Amen. Christ has fulfilled to the satisfaction of God.
Pain, a negative doctor's report, anxieties, and even depression. You or someone you love may be facing one of these common enemies right now. But here's wonderful news. Healing doesn't have to be hard.
God designed the communion to bring healing to your body. That is why I want to send you this easy-to-read resource completely free. It will encourage you, recharge your faith, and be a great blessing to you.
In his breakthrough book, Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion, you can receive the reality that the Holy Communion is far more than a ritual.
We have received many praise reports from believers around the world who have experienced the healing power of the communion. I really want that for you too. Make sure you request this resource today.
Call or click right now to request your free copy of Pastor Prince's Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion.
Praise God. We give God all the glory for all the testimonies that we've just heard. You know, the Apostle Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. But to the Gentiles, the Greeks, it is foolishness." You see, for the Jews, they look for miracles in their lives. They look for signs and wonders. And for the Greeks, they are more intellectual. They look for intelligence and wisdom. But the Bible says to them, when we preach Christ crucified, to them it's like, for the Jew is a stumbling block, and for the Gentiles, it is like foolishness. You know, it's all like, doesn't make sense to them. How can someone who died on the cross save me from my sins? How can someone who died on the cross heal my body? How can someone that died on the cross free me from my depression? How can someone who died 2,000 years ago, at least in their estimation, in God's estimation, He only died just now, because with God, there is no time. Now, how can someone like that save me today from whatever perils I'm in? Friend, for them, it's not logical, because the cross is outside time and outside space. But the Bible says, but to us, we preach Christ crucified. To us who are called Jews and Gentiles, Christ crucified is the power of God. That answers the search for miracles, signs, and wonders among the Jews. We preach Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. That ministers to the area of the search from the Gentiles for wisdom, intelligence in their lives. We have both. We have the power of God and we have the wisdom of God in Christ crucified. Hallelujah. The Bible says this is the hidden wisdom of God down through the centuries. In the Old Testament, it was hidden, but now revealed unto us, that God would justify us through the blood of His Son, the Son that He loved, but He'll give up His Son to die on that cross so that you and I can receive His righteousness and be washed from all our sins by that precious blood that He shed at the cross. Now, to the mind of man, doesn't seem logical, because it is not catering to that which is superficial. It's not catering to the intellect of man. It's going deeper. It is catering to the spirit of man. You see, your spirit is always faster that, you know, when you say, "I have a hunch that's going to happen." It goes beyond logic. I have an intuition. Intuitively, I knew that that might take place. I felt intuitively, you know, people don't obey that intuition, and they will say things like, it's not logical, therefore I didn't do it, and you miss the opportunity, because God can lead you, and God does among believers. God leads us through our intuition. Deep down, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our conscience that we are the children, the sons and daughters of God. If in the most important area, the Holy Spirit bears witness, all right, in our conscience, how much more in all the affairs of life? He will lead you through your intuition, amen? And it's quicker than your puny brain, hallelujah. It is quicker. Your brain is confined by time and space. It cannot go into the future. It cannot go back into the past, but your intuition is in the timeless realm, because God's Spirit dwells there, and that's where you commune with God. That's where God can tell you things about the future. And even though you don't understand everything yet, but you can just obey the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's the life in the Spirit. You and I are called to walk in the Spirit. Amen? The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice it doesn't say, try not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then you can walk in the Spirit. That's putting the cart before the horse. No, God didn't say that. God says, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. In fact, another verse there says, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. We don't go by the law anymore. We go by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God will never lead us against the morals of the law. Never. Amen. But it goes beyond that. When we try to keep the law, we end up doing the opposite because of the flesh. But when we follow the Spirit, we always end up fulfilling the righteousness of the law. Hallelujah. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill. Notice that, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. We're continuing our series today on the offerings in Leviticus. And why are we studying the five offerings of Leviticus? Because it takes five offerings to bring out the riches of that one death on that cross. Christ crucified is depicted in these five offerings. And though the meal offering is more of his life, nonetheless, the five offering covers the cross of Jesus Christ in all its various aspects. Remember what I said? You don't have to know so much to be saved. Just to know that he died for your sins and he rose again for your justification, and confessing him as your Savior and Lord, you are safe. That's all you need to know. But in knowing more about the Lord, in knowing the various aspects of the work of Jesus at the cross, you receive more of what he did for you at the cross. Amen. You and your families are able to enjoy all that he did for you at the cross. Now, the peace offering is not an offering you give to obtain peace. It is an offering, back in those days, they will give to celebrate or to enjoy the peace already received. In other words, if they sin, they don't bring the peace offering, all right? Because the peace offering is not to atone for sins. It is actually the burnt offering and the sin offering that you bring to God that atone for the sins, especially the sin offering and the guilt offering. But the peace offering is that after you have received the forgiveness of sins through the sin offering, maybe God has blessed you in a special way. You have seen some of his signal mercies in your life, or you feel like you want to show God your gratefulness, your thanksgiving, which is the reason why people bring the peace offering. One of the reasons the Bible says in Leviticus 7 is for thanksgiving. The other is for a vow or a voluntary offering. So this is all people that are already blessed in some way, and they want to give thanks to God, and they bring their peace offering and to enjoy what God has given us. Amen? In enjoying it, that means we realize it in our lives. What does it mean for us today? Well, Jesus died for our sins, yes, but Christ also bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. What does that mean for us today? To enjoy that, we need to understand the peace offering. Remember this, the peace offering is from the Hebrew word shalemim, which is actually in English, it's like pieces. Doesn't make sense because we don't say pieces, but it's the plural of the word peace. It is not just peace in one aspect. We think of peace as peace of mind. That's about all that we think of peace today. But peace, shalom in Hebrew, irene in Greek, is more than just peace of mind. It is shalom, is actually completeness, wholeness, well-being, and even prosperity and peace. Even in your relationships with one another, that when you are blessed with the peace of God, that peace permeates in your relationship. It permeates your emotions. It also is manifested in your body as health and wholeness, well-being in every part of your body. So that is shalom, shalom. And the word shalomim for peace offering is the plural of shalom. So it is peace in all its plenitude, in all its riches, in all its various aspects. Hallelujah. And when you offer the peace offering, you receive that shalomim in every part of your being, in your spirit, soul, your emotions, your mind, your body, your health, and in every area of your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith. So that is the burnt offering. Amen. You bring the burnt offering and you're justified, made righteous by faith. We have now peace with God. So the peace offering comes after the burnt offering and after the sin offering. All right, it's something that comes after for the believer who has already been forgiven, already been made righteous. And many a times we fail to realize that peace is not something that we obtain because we have put ourselves in a special posture, we have meditated long enough, we go to the countryside or by the beach and we just do deep breathing. It is not something that you do. It is something that you receive. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. I thank God for that, especially during this pandemic. It's not as the world gives. Jesus said in the upper room, Jesus said, peace, shalom. Now, he would have spoken Aramaic or Hebrew to his disciples. He would have said this, shalom, I live with you. I bequeath to you. I give to you. Shalom, I'll give you. Shalom, my peace. Peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. It's not just any peace. It is my peace. That peace that you saw me operating in this 3.5 years. That peace that you saw me operating in ministering that well-being and wholeness to those who were sick, to those who were broken, for those who were infirm. That same peace that you saw when I touched the leper and he was cleansed. That same peace you saw me. I was in that peace when I was sleeping in that boat in the midst of the storm and you guys had to wake me up. That peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. Peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Now, this is the only thing he asks of you. To receive it, to enjoy it, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, that's your responsibility. The peace is given by him, but the way you enjoy that peace is, he tells you only one thing, let not. I cannot let not your heart be troubled. All right, your pastor cannot do that for you. Your spouse cannot do that for you. Your children cannot do that for you. No one can do that for you but yourself. Jesus is talking to you and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Amen. In fact, it'd be great for you to, you know, once in a while, like make it like a game. Amen. I know it might sound a bit irreverent, but honestly, you know, the things of God are easy. It's not hard. When I say a game, I'm saying make it easy because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, sometimes we leave the impression, amen. I remember I have this impression growing up in church and all that Christian life is hard. But my Bible says the way of the transgressors is hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Notice those two words, easy and light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Easy, light, easy. Think about those words. Hallelujah. Amen. And throughout this week, if you can, make it a game. Make it easy for you. Amen. Every time something comes to provoke your heart into fear or anxiety, or maybe you're watching the news and you find your heart getting troubled, straight away tell yourself, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Talk to yourself. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Don't let your heart be troubled. No, I will not let my heart be troubled. That's my responsibility. Amen. Don't let your heart be troubled, Jesus says. Neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's one thing to be troubled, it's another thing to be afraid. Many a times trouble comes, all right? We are troubled, then we succumb to the fear. And then further on to panic attacks and the worst form of stress. You know, chronic stress is dangerous because, you know, you release something, the adrenal glands release something called cortisol, and cortisol will release sugar in your bloodstream for fight or flight. Amen? The sugar is supposed to help you fight or flight. But what happens if you're chronically stressed, you're perpetually stressed, even when the danger is over? Now, certain amount of stress is good. Amen? Certain amount of exercise and where you're stressed and all that is okay, perfectly okay. You need the energy. You need that boost, amen, from your sugar in the blood. But anything further than that, after the danger is over, after your exercise, you should not be troubled. You should not be stressed, because chronic stress will keep on releasing that sugar in your bloodstream. And that's how, you know, people may have problems with diabetes and other forms of sickness and disease. It is proven already medically, scientifically, it's proven that chronic stress can produce all kinds of disease and conditions in your body that you don't want. Amen? But praise be to God. The antidote today is peace. Shalom. Amen? So receive that shalom. Even right now, as you're watching this, Jesus says to you, peace I leave with you, I bequeath to you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So from now on, tell yourself, throughout this week, I'm going to do this. Every time my heart is troubled, my heart is anxious, I'll say this under my breath. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, praise God. Now, in the Shalemim offering, you'll notice that the animal is brought to the Lord. Now, there are different gradings also for the Shalemim, but we'll look at the highest one, which is the bullock. And here it says, when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So same thing like the burnt offering. Remember that? All right, you lay your hands. And what is laying hands on the animal? A picture of? Is a picture of identification. And kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Now, first and foremost, we notice that this offering is an offering in verse 1, without blemish before the Lord. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, every time you see Jesus, even in the scriptures, and now we are studying the peace offering, we're actually looking at Christ crucified. Because all this is a picture of Jesus on that cross. And as the more we see Jesus, Christ crucified is what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. It releases the power of God in your life. It releases the wisdom of God in your life. Now, sometimes, you know, we have a situation or even a condition in our body. We want healing and all that. God may actually give us wisdom instead of healing, because the wisdom might tell us, okay, you need to cut down on fatty food. You know, you need to cut down on sugar, for example. And then when you cut down on that, you find that the condition you have, the physical condition, clears up. So what you needed was actually the wisdom of God. And God will impart to you that wisdom. Okay? Now, you can actually read up on all this and the wisdom of man and all that. It won't do you much. But God knows specifically what you need. And the wisdom of God is always specific and is always 100% guaranteed in its results. Praise the Lord. On the other hand, God may actually resolve that problem in your life or that physical condition in your life by giving you a miracle. So that is under the power of God. So Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. Christ crucified is the power of God. Hallelujah. So as we're studying the offerings of Leviticus, we're actually looking at Christ. And the more you look at the Lord Jesus, the Bible says in these last days, amen, even though we know we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, all the prophets of old and all the patriarchs and all the people that have gone on before, they are now in heaven. They are cheering us on, and we are being cheered by the crowd, the onlookers in heaven, and they are cheering us on. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, you know, looking unto Jesus, and the word looking is a very unique Greek word that is not just a simple word for looking. It is looking away from everything else that will distract unto Jesus. looking away from everything else that we look for solution or for answers, look away from all that that is of man and look unto Jesus, amen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. The word our is not there, it's in the italics. Actually, it's the author and finisher of faith. The chapter before that, Hebrews 11, talks about the great hall of faith and all the heroes of faith and the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. But here in Hebrews 12, it tells us, looking unto Jesus, we look away even from other men of faith. Even as wonderful as they are, we look to Jesus alone because only He is the author and the finisher. And the word finisher is completer of faith. No one has faith the way Jesus has. Amen. And to look to Jesus is actually faith in action. Hallelujah. So look away from everything else unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, and you'll find your faith springs eternal. Hallelujah. And you're operating in faith without even realizing it. So the more we see Jesus, whether it is in the Word, or we see Jesus in worship, as the Holy Spirit paints that vision of Jesus, the Hazon vision in our heart, we are being transformed into His same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that great? Isn't that good news? We all want to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Amen? Think about having Jesus. Amen? If Jesus is married to you, imagine the kind of kindness, the tenderness, the love, the patience that He would have. And that's the kind of love that the Bible says we are to love our wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loves the church. Now, if we do not know how Christ loves us, how can we extend that love to our wives? So we must experience the love of Christ for ourselves. And that's what the Shalomim is all about. Praise the Lord. It's to enjoy the love of God. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. You say, oh, Pastor Prince, where is the love of God in this peace offering? We're coming to it. Praise God. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it. That's identification. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around the altar. Remember, the blood being sprinkled all around the altar means what? That the blood of Jesus has fully met all the claims of God's righteousness and holiness from you and from your family. Hallelujah. All the demands and the requirements that a thrice holy God wants and demands and commands from you, amen, Christ has fulfilled to the satisfaction of God. And His death is like producing a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Hallelujah. And it's God who sent His Son for this purpose. Amen. So today, God is not mad at you. Whenever you come to God, God smells a sweet-smelling aroma of Christ. Praise the Lord. In verse 3, it says, He shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. Now, the fat is the main thing that is being offered. The fat of all the different parts of the animal, the kidneys, the flanks, the upper part of the liver, all mentioned here, is the fat that's a focus. And fat, cheleth in Hebrew, actually means the richest, the best, the topmost, the cream. Amen. The cream, the very best. Amen. Is the best. Is the best that God has for you. Hallelujah. Jesus is the best that God has, amen, for all of us. And when He died on the cross, what this verse is saying, when He died on the cross, when back in those days, the Shalomim, the animal, usually is a lamb, okay, or even a bullock in this case that we are reading, and it's a Shalomim offering. The priest will cut cut out the inward parts and all that and carefully bring out the fat, which speaks of the inward riches, the preciousness, the very best of Jesus. You know, men, usually when men, they're trying to impress men, they can try to change their outward behavior and try to behave in front of someone that they want to impress. But what they are on the inside, we never know. That's why it's not enough to marry someone just because you met him after a whirlwind date and, it's like the very next thing you think you're in love and all that. No, take time. Take time to get to know the person, the inside of the person, who the person really is, especially when no one is looking. And Jesus is amazing. The Bible says that when He came out of the River Jordan, when He was being baptized by John at the River Jordan, the Bible says, God said this, "This is my beloved Son in home. Notice, in home. God sees the inside. In home, I am well pleased. Everything about Jesus on the inside pleases the Father, satisfies the Father. It's a delight to the Father. And you know something? The more we talk about this, it delights the Father. This is worship, amen? Talking about the glories of His Son to the Father. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. And the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys. I wish I have time to break down all these words for you, and there's such riches there. You know, the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys is a very beautiful word here, but because of time, I want to focus on something else that I feel that God wants you all to know. Maybe another time we'll cover this. And he shall remove, Aaron's son shall burn it. It here is the fat of all the various parts, the fat of the kidneys and the fat of the liver and the fat of all the different parts of this animal. He shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire. So the fat is burned on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice. In other words, the fat of the shelamim is put on a piece of the burnt offering. Remember the piece of the burnt offering, whether it is the head or the legs, right? We talked about it last week, about the parts of the burnt offering. The head, he knew no sin. The feet, he did no sin. In him is no sin. Well, the fat is put on these parts. In other words, burnt offering is a picture of, we established that last week, righteousness before God. Amen? All of Jesus' righteousness imputed to you. Amen? And the altar speaks of, the altar is actually a place where God's claims are made. Amen. It's a place where you give God His food. Actually, you keep on reading here, you'll find it talks about God's food. Let me just stop here and just bring you down to verse 16 about the peace offering still. And it says, the priest shall burn them, all the fat, on the altar as food. Lechem in Hebrew, bread. Well, food for who? Whose food is this? God's food. Do you know the shelamim is God's food? God finds His satisfaction in the obedience of His Son. Jesus said it like this, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Even as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. He was quick to obey God. He loved His Father, and the Father finds His food in His Son's obedience, in His Son's, you know, joy and worship, in His Son's, you know, His perfection. The Father finds joy in Jesus. No one brought joy and delight to the Father the way Jesus did. Amen? And thank God, all that Jesus is imputed to you. Hallelujah. All that delight, all that acceptance is imputed to you. And when God looks at you, God sees you in Christ. In other words, Jesus today, at the cross, remember this, He died as us, not just for us. The word for there, in many places, it is for us means on behalf of. But the word for us in the Greek is also the word for instead of, in place of. So in other words, when He died on the cross, He died for our sins, yes, but He also died as us. In other words, He finished off with that part of us, the old man, that's always subject to temptations and always sinning, always moody, always angry. That part of us is no more, gone. Hallelujah. That part, you know, I want to add as well, that's always subject to everything that Adam brought hereditary upon his descendants. Amen. Through hereditary. All right. All that, God says, gone. Hallelujah. Amen. I was crucified with Christ. So He died as us. Amen. Not only that, He rose from the dead as us. We, you know, we look at Jesus and we say, that is the real me today. Hallelujah. Not only that, the Bible says He entered the presence of God. He was made to sit at the Father's right hand as us. You see, He didn't have to sit down to be part of the triune God. He's always, all right, one of the divine persons in the triune God. Now, this is a mystery. Right, but before He came, He is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. So in other words, when He sat down as man. He did not sit down as God. That He always is. But all His accomplishments, He did it as man. So one of us made it. His name is Jesus. and all that he is, God imputes to you. In other words, you look at Jesus in heaven, that's how close you are to God. Your standing before God today is not you in yourself on earth, where you are, you know, whichever country you are in right now. It is not you God is looking at. God is looking at Jesus Christ, and God is saying, that is the real you. Whatever happened to Jesus at the cross happened to you because he died in place of you. Hallelujah. He died as you. You can say that way. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Liken yourself as Christ died to sin once and for all. Likewise, reckon yourself dead unto sin, because what is true of him is true of you. When he rose from the dead, you rose with him. Hallelujah. Why? He rose as you. Hallelujah. As God, he didn't have to die on the cross. He didn't have to even come down. He came down as man, as a federal head of the human race, just as Adam was a federal head of the human race. The reason why you have weakness in your body, the reason why you have depression in your mind, the reason why you have bitterness and anger in your heart is all because of Adam. Amen. That hereditary sins went into you, into your genes, through your blood, and now you're part of that. But God says, no more. God says, I'm giving Jesus as the federal head of the new federal head of the human race, and all that is true of him will be true of you. Because today, he is your identity. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Amen. And the church is slowly discovering, because there's a mixture. We are looking at ourselves a lot, and sometimes even our sermons are pointing to us a lot, as if we are still in and of ourselves, when actually the Bible says we are to present Jesus, we are to bring Jesus out of the scriptures, like Jesus taught the two disciples on the road of Emmaus, expound things in the scriptures concerning himself. And that's how he brought them out of their doubt and unbelief and slow of heart to believe. He brought them out of their doldrums, out of their despondency, hallelujah, by opening up in the scriptures things concerning himself. Amen. The more we see Jesus, the more we look at the new head of the human race, hallelujah, our Lord Jesus, and we say, there's a man now in heaven. That's me. God reckons him as me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just as God reckoned me on that cross. Amen. And that's where my destiny in Christ started. I was crucified with Christ. His death was my death. His resurrection was my resurrection. And now He's being raised from the dead and being seated at the Father's right hand is me being seated on the Father's throne as well in him. Because in him means whatever is true of him now, whatever he has accomplished is set to your account. It's as if you are what he is and as if you have accomplished what he finished. Hallelujah. Let that sink in. Think about it. That's what it means. As he is, so are we in this world. But I say, but look at myself. You know, I'm nowhere close. I still have all these negative, pessimistic thoughts, and I still have bitterness and resentment, impatience, and I'm very touchy and sensitive. You know, I still have my mood swings and things like that. I'm nowhere close to Jesus. But my friend, God is saying all that are just lies. It's like the dead Egyptians on the seashore. Amen. You see them, but they're dead. Amen. You feel these sinful tendencies and emotions and thoughts, but they're not you. They don't define you. You are defined by that man at the Father's right hand. That's who you are. And the more we see that, people, and the more we unveil that to the people, we are being transformed, not by trying, not by pulling ourselves by our bootstraps, you know, not by willpower. No, no. We are transformed by beholding Jesus. Hallelujah. And who transforms us as we behold Jesus? The Spirit of the Lord. We are transformed with unveiled face. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, praise the Lord. So here it says, this offering is made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. So we have touched on this, that the fat, the riches of the person of Jesus, right? And the shalomim. Don't forget, the fat is the shalomim. All the shalom, all the riches of that peace, that health, that well-being, that completeness is predicated on, is based on the righteousness of God. So once God makes you the righteousness of God in Christ, and He has done so, peace should follow. You should expect peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, being made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that peace translates in every other area in our lives. It should. In fact, that word says, let us have peace with God. It's actually the word echo in Greek, which actually means, it's not just passively, let us have peace. It's an active word. Let us hold on to that peace. Let us manifest. Let us seize upon that peace. We have it. Seize upon it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But there is an enemy out there that wants to steal this word from your heart. 1-2 days after you hear this preaching, amen, you'll have to meditate on it again or hear it again. Because why? There's an enemy out there who does not want you to listen to truths like this, where you are being pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, you are out of yourself, my friend. You know, there's nothing more miserable than to be self-occupied. Occupied with your thoughts, with your shortcomings, with your failures. Okay, and sometimes we are occupied with our accomplishments, and it doesn't satisfy, because the more proud we are, you know, we always fall. Yeah, pride goes before a fall, the Bible says. And there's always, you know, whether you're proud or you're feeling inferior or you're feeling superior, it's still self-occupation. But when you're occupied with Christ, you are being transformed into His image. Amen. There's a glory on your face. There's a glory on your life that you are unconscious of. Like Moses, he wist not that his face shone, but others can see it as you behold Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And don't forget, this shalamim is also like the burnt offering, a sweet aroma to the Lord. It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. See how the Apostle Paul brings out the truth of Leviticus into the reality of the substance here from the shadow of the Leviticus. We are the aroma of Christ to whom? To God. It doesn't matter if people can see, sense their aroma about us or not. What matters is to God. We are a sweet aroma to God. Remember what I shared last week, that, you know, every time you come to God, I want you to have this thought that God is smelling the sweet aroma of His Son, and His Son always delights Him. You are unto God a sweet aroma of Christ. You know, when you go into prayer, can you picture that? It's going to revolutionize your prayer life. Every time you come near to God to worship Him or to pray, okay, it's like perfume, the perfume of Jesus coming to God. Amen. See that. It's going to revolutionize your prayer life. It's going to revive it. Hallelujah. You will pray on every count. Amen. When you see this. So remember this. The shalamim is the food offering, the food of God placed on the altar. It's for God to eat, to feed on. To feed on means He finds His joy, He finds His delight, and His satisfaction, His fulfillment in this sacrifice. Amen. The sacrifice of Christ, because of His Son's obedience, His Son's love for Him, He feeds on it. It's His food. So every time you remember to bring the peace offering, I'm going to show you how to bring it. Okay. It's actually God's food, and God delights in it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here we look at the law of the peace offering in Leviticus chapter 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. Now, every time you see the peace offering, remember it's plural. It's actually pieces offering. It's shalamim. His own hands shall bring the offerings made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the breasts he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. Friend, the key feature of the offering, which part of the animal, is the fat of the various parts of the internal organs of the animal, is brought before the Lord. What does that signify? It signifies the God looks into Jesus and He sees His intent, the riches, the beauty, the holiness, the wholeness and the completeness of Jesus' thoughts, intents, desires towards the Father. None of us come close to that. But thanks be to God, we are not in ourselves. Jesus is my righteousness. All that He is now imputed to you. Praise the Lord. And to me, hallelujah. Praise God. So the richest of all that he is. And now we have another part brought in from the peace offering. What is it? The breast. The breast. The fat with the breast of the animal. Usually is the shalamim is either a bullock or a lamb. But here, the focus is on the animal's breast. What is the breast a picture of? It's a picture of love, affections. Amen. And throughout the Bible, breast or the heart refers to love. Amen. So whose breast is this? It's the breast of the animal. It's not talking about your love here. So folks, forget about yourself for a while. God is not saying, you got to love, you got to love, all right? No, no, no. He's saying, can you see my son's love for you? Can you see my son's love first and foremost for me? Because here, don't forget, we always think in terms of our benefit, ourselves, but actually Jesus died to fulfill the glory of God. Amen. To bring glory to God, to meet all his holy attributes of righteousness, holiness, and satisfy them all on our behalf. His death has magnified the law, the Bible says. His death, okay, and that's why being magnified, the law, the Christ is the end of the law for everyone that believes. So as we look at the cross, remember, Jesus died for our sins, yes. But primarily, don't forget, Jesus died first to fulfill all that God requires from us. And to fulfill it so satisfactorily, the Bible says, he satisfied more than enough. Hallelujah. And then to see it as Jesus dying for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he loved God. That breast, why did he die on the cross? He loved his Father and he loved you and I. Hallelujah. That's the picture of the breast. And it's not your breast. God is not saying, how much do you love me? How much do you love Jesus? Friend, forget about that for a while, okay? Because that will take care of itself. Because we love because he first loved us. Unless we see that first cause, we cannot be a loving person. We cannot love God. We cannot love one another. Amen? And that verse doesn't say we love him alone or love one another alone. He says we love. In other words, we love him, we love one another because this is the first cause. The first cause that causes the effect of love in our heart is to know because he loved us. Amen? So at the cross, Jesus laid down his life because he loved his Father. And that's food for the Father. And he laid down his life because he loved you and me. Hallelujah. Now, this is food for us. We'll see later on how God feeds on this breast and how you and I feed on this breast. God finds his joy and delight in the love of Jesus, and you and I find joy in the love of Jesus. And the high priest himself, Aaron, and who is the high priest today? Jesus. Aaron himself finds his satisfaction and joy and food in the breast of the animal. So here you have a double part here of Jesus. You find Jesus himself enjoys his love for you. He finds his food in ministering to you. Hallelujah. Friend, just like that woman at the well. Remember Jesus was tired. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. That word there, he must needs go through Samaria. Actually, there's another way to bypass Samaria, which is the way the Pharisees would have taken. Many religious Jews would have taken that route. The Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. He didn't want to bypass Samaria. He must needs. So it's not a must of necessity, a must of the local geography. No, it's a must of love. Amen. He must meet that lady. And who is that lady? Some sort of VIP? No, a lady who have had five husbands and the one that she's living with right now is not a husband. She's living in adultery. That woman, one sinner, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And he found her in the middle of the day. And Jesus sat down at the well, tired, physically tired. And the disciples went off to buy food for him and for themselves. So when he was alone, that woman came to the well and Jesus says, give me to drink. And you know the conversation, there are exactly seven statements of Jesus in the statements that he made with the woman. Seven, the number of perfection. And you know how she looked at him and at first she says, how come you are a Jew, you ask me for water, and I'm a Samaritan? Because Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, right? And Jesus says, if you knew who it is who is speaking unto you, you would ask him, and he will give you living water. And then she says that we know when the Messiah comes, he will show us all things. And Jesus says, I will speak unto you. I am he. Oh, hallelujah. I am he. Praise the Lord. And she ran out and told all the people that, come, see a man who told me everything about myself. Is this not the Messiah? Wow, amazing. In fact, this is in John chapter 4. John chapter 3, there was a religious man, a master in Israel. I mean, he's like a chief Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. And to him, Jesus never revealed that he was the Messiah. Jesus never revealed he was the Messiah. But to this woman, he revealed himself as the Messiah. Hallelujah. See, the Messiah is for the Jews. But imagine, this woman receives superabundance of the glory. Hallelujah. She received more than enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then the disciples came. The woman left her bucket there, and she went into the city to declare to all the people about Jesus. And as she left, the disciples came, and they saw that he was talking to the woman before the woman left. And as they came to him and the woman left, he says, Master, we brought food for you. And you know what Jesus said? I have food to eat that you do not know of. And they start talking to each other. Did someone bring him food to eat? Because when we left him, he was tired. He was hungry. When now we are back, and he looks fresh, refreshed, strengthened. It's as if he has rested, and as if he has just rested, and he has just eaten a good meal. It looks different. Why? And Jesus says, I have meat to eat. I have food to eat that you do not know of. And what is his food? His food was in loving that lady. In fact, in the same context, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That is his food, right? His food is to fulfill the will of the Father, and his food is to love that lady. His food, he finds his nourishment, he finds his satisfaction in loving you. If I can say it like this, if God can be reinvigorated, if God can be recharged, if God can be refreshed, it is because you allow him to love you. When you take from the Lord, he does not get depleted. If you take from men, the more you take, the more depleted the man is. And ultimately, he will faint, right? But with God, it's different. The more you take from God, the more he is like recharged. The more he is refreshed. The more he delights in what you have done. Because God's being is such that he loves and loves. He gives and gives. And he's waiting for someone to allow him to love on them. Will you be that person? Praise the Lord. Even right now, will you just say, Father, I receive right now the fact that you love me. I receive, Lord, your love. I will not doubt it anymore. I receive that love. And I thank you that perfect love casts out every fear, heals my body, prospers all my relationship. That love evicts every fear out of my life. Thank you, Lord. I receive your love in Jesus' name. Receive that love for your wife, for your husband. Receive that love for your children. Receive that love for your parents. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go on. So the fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord in those days. That's how they do it. They bring the breast of the lamb or the bullock, and this is what they do before the Lord. They carry it, it's roasted, and they carry it, and they wave it before the Lord. They wave it, amen, as a sign of like, Lord, we celebrate before you the breast, the love of Jesus. Amen. When we worship God, when we praise God, whatever it is that we are doing before the Lord, remember this, do it in the consciousness of the love of Jesus. Amen. If the Father sees that you are conscious of the love of Jesus, that's when your offering becomes sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Hallelujah. If I have no love, whatever I do is a sounding gong. My song, my words is just a clanging cymbal. Amen. Even I bestow my goods to feed the poor and I give my life. If I have no love, amen. And that love there is the love of God, not my love. Amen. It's His love. If I'm not conscious of that love, amen. If I'm not possessing that love, if I'm not receiving that love, all that I do, all my good deeds profits me nothing. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Friends, the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Now, the breast is the love of Jesus. I say the love of Jesus because of the breast of the animal. Who is the animal? A picture of Jesus. So it's not Aaron and the sons are not celebrating their own breasts. They're not looking at their breasts and say, oh, how loving I am. No, no. They are focusing on the breast of the animal, the love of Jesus. And the portion that belongs to the high priest, Aaron is the high priest of Israel, and his sons is the breast. The love of God is your portion. Hallelujah. My friend, it is your inheritance. It is your part. It is your lot. It is your inheritance. Receive it. The love of Jesus. Amen. Receive it. Praise the Lord. The breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Notice the sons of Aaron are the sons of the high priest. They are also priests themselves. That's a picture of all of us. Aaron here is the first high priest of Israel. So he's a picture of our Lord Jesus. So the breast belongs to him as well. He feeds on the breast, but his sons also feed on the breast, the roasted breast, the breast that has been through the fire. So it's not a Jesus that has not been crucified. Some teach Jesus like he's a good example to follow. Oh man, he's a great man in history. If only we can emulate his example. No friend, you can do all that and be lost and still go to hell. You know something? Jesus is not there for us just to admire, amen, his morals and all that. Jesus wants us to feed on him. Hallelujah. And how does that happen? When we see Jesus crucified on that cross. Amen. The morality will take care of itself. Friend, a child will grow. A child can say, you know, I want to have more strength, more biceps, you know, I want to grow strong and all that. If you'll just keep on feeding and keep on feeding and keep on feeding, he will grow. Or a young boy will say, I want to have beard. I want to have beard. Keep on feeding as you are growing and you are growing. The beard will come. Hallelujah. At least for most of us in the natural, praise God. Amen. And then after that, you are busy trying to shave it off. Okay, so things come with growth, even the morality and all that. Amen, praise God. It comes with growth. As you feed, you are being strengthened on the inside. The Bible talks about being strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inner man and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know what a cool man in God's estimation is like? He's someone who is strengthened on the inside for the purpose of perseverance towards trials when the vicissitudes of life hit us, when the bad things in life, right? When we go through some trials, you know, things that are not pleasant for us. Well, we need what? Perseverance. Well, the Bible says God strengthens you with all might on the inside unto all perseverance. And then it says long-suffering. Now, long-suffering, perseverance is towards circumstances. Patience or long-suffering is towards people. Amen. And God will strengthen you on the inside so you can be patient with your spouse. You can be patient with your children. Have you noticed that I'm actually quoting a prayer of Paul? Paul knew that we cannot be strengthened unto all perseverance and patience with joyfulness, not just patient, with joyfulness. And you're joyful, not a morose face while you are being patient, you're not happy about it. No, a joyfulness that comes with in that perseverance and that patience towards people. Do you have that? No, friend, you and I don't have it unless we ask God for it. Because this is actually a prayer of Paul. Paul prayed that we'll be strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inner man. And in Colossians, he prayed the same prayer again, being strengthened unto all patience, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, which is perseverance in the Greek, and long-suffering, which is patience with people, with joyfulness. Hallelujah. Ooh. And it comes from feeding on the love of Jesus, asking him for that strengthening. Amen. And you'll be a cool person. Imagine being married to someone who is always patient. In fact, the first definition of love, what is the first definition of love? Or rather, I would say, you know, the very first thing the Bible says love is. What is that? Love is patient. Even kindness comes second. Love is patient. Amen. Love is patient. And that's the love of God. So God's perspective is towards you is God is patient and He's kind. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we say we love someone, it is because we are patient with them. Be patient with their weakness. Amen. God is patient with yours. Be patient with their weakness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the love of Jesus becomes your portion and is a portion of the high priest. In other words, Jesus, don't forget, His food is His love. He loves loving you. Hallelujah. He enjoys loving you. He enjoys loving me. He finds His food in loving us. Praise the Lord. And we find our food in His love for us. And feed on it more and more. It's not just a one-time thing. You know, I knew about this pastor a few years ago. I had a revelation of the love of God. No, it's a daily thing. You feed daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen? And one of the bread that God gives us is His love that we have to be conscious of. We must be feeding from every single day. Amen? All right, let's go on. Let's finish this. Also, the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The right thigh. The right thigh is the longest and strongest bone in our body. All right? The strongest bone in our body is the right thigh. It's a picture of strength, a picture of health, a picture of power. Amen. So the breast is a picture of love. The right thigh is a picture of power, strength, the strength of the animal. And it's a portion that is also part of the peace offering. Amen. That's roasted with fire. And the fire, by the way, speaks of judgment, right? God's judgment at the cross. When the fire hit Jesus, amen, it burned up all that He was carrying on our behalf, our sins, our filth, our uncleanness, even our diseases. He bore our infirmities and carried all our sicknesses. Right, He bore them all, and when the fire hit Him, it burned them all up. But when the fire hit Him, what came out of Him, notice in all this offering, it was when the fire touches the burnt offering, there's a sweet aroma. When we are under fire, you know, what comes out of our mouths and our thoughts are not sweet aroma. I'll tell you that. But what comes out of Jesus on that cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What comes out of Him when the fire touches Him are the perfections of His person that emits a fragrance to God that only the Father can appreciate. And the Father is glorified. The Father is satisfied. Pertaining to all your sins, my sins, the Father is perfectly satisfied. Amen. By the work of His Son. Are you? Are you satisfied with what God is satisfied? God says you are completely forgiven through the blood of my Son. If God says you are and God is satisfied, are you? Are you? You should rest in God's satisfaction. You should rest in God's acceptance, not in your feelings of that acceptance. Amen. Let's go on. Now, how many want the right thigh? How many want the right thigh? How many want the power of God in your life? How many see the hand of God move, and the power of God, not just the love of God, the power of God? I'm about to give you the secret of the power of God being released in your life. He, among the sons of Aaron. So Aaron has all these sons, right? And we know that Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Itamar, back then, they are a picture of all of us, priests. Amen. We are all priests, but Aaron is the high priest. We are all priests today, royal priesthood, but Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. But notice that he among the sons of the priests, he among the sons of Aaron, in other words, one of us, that offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat, the riches of Jesus, shall have the right thigh for his part. Hallelujah. In other words, the one who understands the value and the preciousness of the blood of Jesus and what it has done for us, amen, and how he has fully met all the claims of God's holiness and righteousness, amen. Once you know that, and you are the one that offers the blood, amen, of the peace offering. And not only that, the fat. Amen. The fat that becomes the food, the lechem, which is the word for bread in Hebrew. The bread The fat is the bread of God. God feeds on that fat. All the fat is the Lord's. You read that just now. Let me show you that verse again in Leviticus 3. Notice it says, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that the fat, which is the bread and the blood, what does that tell you? Actually, today, when we receive communion, notice I say the word receive, we receive communion. Who is the one that gives it? Jesus. Melchizedek brought bread and wine. It wasn't Abraham who brought the bread and the wine. So Jesus is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek today, and he brings the bread and the wine to us. Amen. So every day that's what I see when I partake of the Lord's Supper. I see him bringing the bread and wine to me. I'm receiving it. And notice one part of my hand is holding the bread and the other part is holding the cup, the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. Lechem, the bread, the fat. Amen. The riches of his person and his blood. So if I understand this, I among the sons of the priests, and you understand that, you're actually receiving the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible tells us when you partake in a way worthy of the whole Eucharist, this Thanksgiving act, not transubstantiation. Not, I'm not saying that this becomes literally the fat of the Lord, the body of Jesus, and it becomes the blood of Jesus. No, I'm saying based on all these tokens, amen, these symbols of what he has done, but nonetheless, let's not just push it to the other side of the dish where it's just a symbol. It does nothing for us today. It's just for us to remember him. No, my friend, the way they remember the Passover is to reenact the Passover the Jewish people, every year. And for us, it's a reenactment of what happened at the cross. That's why it's called Thanksgiving. It is not something that we offer for Jesus to perform or do. It's done. It's finished. It's completed. Hallelujah. And we have the Eucharist because the word Eucharist means thanksgiving. We receive with thanksgiving what his body has done for us. And we declare before the Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that in your body you bore this disease or that pain or whatever condition you have, you see it in his body. And I thank you that by your stripe, I'm healed of it. Maybe it's a blood pressure condition that you are having, high blood pressure. Father, I thank you that by the body of Jesus, by his stripes, I am healed of this blood, high blood pressure. By the body of Jesus, I am healed of this diabetes. By the body of Jesus, by his stripe, by his wounds, I am healed from memory problems. Amen. By the stripe of Jesus, I'm healed in my brain. Hallelujah. Ooh. Everything becomes clearer. Amen. So you receive it from the Lord. Amen. The broken body of Jesus and the shed blood. And the blood is shed for, number one, remission of our sins. The Bible says it's not to be conscious of your sins. In fact, to be conscious is not Eucharist. Jesus didn't say, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you to be conscious of your sins. No. It is for the remission of your sins. We are to partake worthily is not to be conscious of sins that he has put away. It's to be conscious of what he has done in putting it away. Hallelujah. My friend, it is dishonoring to the Lord to partake of the Lord's Supper in a spirit of somberness, in a spirit of like, no thanksgiving, but Lord, I hope that you heal me, Lord. And I know that I have so many sins. Please let the blood of Jesus cleanse me. You are turning the blood of Jesus into something that he's going to die and shed his blood again and again. No, my friend, it's a celebratory feast. It's a Eucharist, giving thanks. Feast, hallelujah. You thank God for what has been accomplished, the finished work of Jesus. Thank God by his stripes, I am healed. By his shed blood, I am made righteous. By his blood, all my sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. That is partaking worthily. Hallelujah. And we glorify God. That's the attitude of receiving communion that glorifies God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's finish it off. Let's drop down to the last verse here. And it says, for the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, so the love and the power, literally the love and the power, God says, I have taken from the children of Israel from the sacrifices of their shelamim, their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the priest. So God is saying, all the love, all the power, all right, I give to Jesus Christ, to Aaron the priest, and to his sons. That's you and I, from the children of Israel by a statute forever. And friend, it's not just sons, as you think of, only the male among the sons of Aaron. No, friend, it's also daughters. In another place, talking about the shelamim, this is Leviticus 10, talking about the same offering, shelamim, peace offering. It says the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus, you shall eat in a clean place. You shall enjoy, feed on, in a clean place, you, your sons, and your daughters with you. So notice you, your sons, and your daughters with you. So the daughters are included. For they are your due and your sons' due, which are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. To Jesus be all the glory and the praise. Have you noticed the breast of the wave offering? You take the breast, it's roasted in fire, and you take it, the priest takes it, and he waves it before the Lord. Notice, this is the action. This is the action they do. The love of Jesus. Lord, Father, look at the love of Jesus for you. Look at what he did, Lord, on that cross. Because he loved you, he laid down his life for you. And Father, also the Lord Jesus on that cross loved me and gave himself for me. It's because he loved me, he gave himself for me. And when you're declaring like this, you actually like, it's as if you are boasting and waving and lauding, amen, the love of God before the Father. Hallelujah. And not only that, there is also the tithe of the heave offering. Now, heave offering is not like this. This is the wave offering, okay? Yeah, long before they did all this in the stadiums and all that, God already started it. Amen. God is the originator. Amen. So the heave offering is like this. It's called, the wave is tanufa, right? And the heave offering is taruma. It's to heave up. You heave up. It requires power, strength. And you heave up what? The right thigh. The breast is wave. The thigh, the power, the strength is heaved. Now, do you see something? Do you see something? It makes up the cross. So when Jesus was on that cross, it's both the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus displayed unto the Father. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Friend, this is really good news. Amen. And this is your portion. In fact, the verse goes on to say, verse 35, this is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons, out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office. Friends, this is the key to the anointing in your life. The more conscious you are and you're feeding and finding your joy in the love of Jesus every day, and the more you are feeding on the power of God, hallelujah. And you know, when you feel on the power of God when you say things like this, Lord Jesus, as I go out today into the world, as my family goes out today, I thank you that your power keeps us safe. Your power keeps us from sin. Your power keeps us from evil people. Your power keeps us from every sickness and disease. Your power keeps us from all manner of evil. Your power keeps us from the power of the evil one. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Your power keeps us. Amen. We are kept by the power of God unto salvation, the Bible says. And the word salvation there is all inclusive of all that Jesus accomplished for us on that cross. Amen. This is the secret of the anointing for both Aaron and his sons. Amen. To be conscious of this is to flow in the anointing. And where the anointing is, every satanic yoke breaks. When anointing flows, it's like the oil. Things become smooth, prosperous, easy, and light. When there's no anointing, it's hard. It is tedious. It is like a heavy yoke, you know. But when the anointing flows, amen. May everything you do in your family life, whatever it is, be like a flow, an anointing in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you been blessed by the Lord? I trust that this word has gone in deep And I pray in Jesus' name that from now on, every one of you, you'll find your delight, your joy in the love of Jesus. Amen. And refresh yourself. That's why we need to have a daily devotion, a daily time with the Lord. Because when you spend that time with the Lord, you are feeding on His love. And remember that whatever you do, it doesn't convey the love of Jesus, you are misinterpreting what you are reading. Amen. And it doesn't convey the power of God to you, that sense of the power of God, you're misreading it. Friend, God has all the love for you and He has all the power. You know, the Bible says Jesus had compassion on the multitude. That's love. And He healed their sick. That's power. Jesus said to the Gadarene demoniac, after He drove all the demons out of him, and he wanted to be with Jesus. Now he is in his right mind, clothed. He wants to be with Jesus. That's the result of someone who is delivered. He wants to be with Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? You know what? Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. One time the Lord Jesus walked into the city of Nain, and right at the gate, they were bringing out a dead body. A young man just died, and he was the only son of a widow. And the widow was crying. And Jesus looked at her. The Bible says He had compassion on the widow. And He said unto her, do not weep. And He proceeded what? The love accompanied by the power. Usually the order. The love first and then the power. He raised that boy from the dead. Hallelujah. He saw the multitude that was with Him at one time when He was preaching and all that. And He said to His disciples, you know, I have compassion, love. I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with Me for 3 days. And they have not eaten. And I'd want to send them along the way because they have been fasting. They might faint along the way. And He proceeded with the power to multiply the loaves and fishes. Hallelujah. Isn't He good, friend? Isn't He a wonderful Savior? Isn't He your Lord that looks after you? Amen. And wants you, I say this reverently, wants you to use Him, use His love, employ His power in your life. Amen. He finds His joy when you receive His love. We find our food, our joy, when we receive His love. Amen. But He finds His joy in giving us His love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If the love of God has touched your heart, if you know today, you know, that's beyond your head, your heart knows it, that God loves you, why don't you receive Him into your life? Why don't you just welcome Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? Friend, we've all sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God sent His Son so that Jesus would take the wages of our sin on that cross, on Himself, and finish it off. And He rose from the dead without our sins. He rose from the dead glorified forever. Amen. With all power and authority in heaven and on earth. Amen. Friend, if you believe that and you want Jesus to come into your life, pray this prayer with me right now. Amen. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You that You love me and send Your Son to die for my sins on that cross. I thank You, Father, that You have raised Him from the dead. I thank You, You love me, Father. I thank You for my Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. Say it. He is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, now and forever. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer, my friend, you are now a child of God. All things inside you are all passed away. All things inside you have become new. You are now a brand new creation in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet, church. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I hesitate to just pronounce the benediction because I'm seeing God do all kinds of things. There is someone, you have a liver condition. You're just diagnosed with a liver condition. I think it's like they found a lump or something, like a tumor, something like that. And I see God just touching it. It disappears. You are healed. Go back to the doctor, have it checked. The Lord has healed you. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Someone has a blurry vision and God is clearing your eyes right now. You've been very concerned about this blurry vision, but even just now as you were watching me and tuning in just now, your vision became blurred, on, off and all that, and you've been concerned. Right now, you're seeing clarity. Amen. But go back to the doctor and check it out. Amen. Have it confirmed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, you are healed, my friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone had a severe fall, and it's sort of like, I see you having stitches in your head, and it's been bothering you ever since. The pain is still there. You're taking some painkillers, but the pain is still there, and right now you're feeling like warmth all over your head. God is healing you, amen? And whatever it is, it's not cleared, you are healed. You are well in Jesus' name. Praise the name of Jesus. Back condition, someone with it's like a stiff back. Your back is very stiff and it's causing a lot of problems and mobility as well as motion and all that. You're having problems and there's a lot of discomfort when you sleep. And right now, God is healing your back. Bent. There you go. Bent. Yep, you can bend and you can't do this before, right? Bend all the way and now you're bending all the way. God has healed you. Please write to us and let us know all about it. Just receive all the power of Jesus. The right thigh is now being released. Amen. The power of God is released. You know why? Because He loves you. Receive your healing. Receive your miracle. If there's a condition in your body right now that's troubling you, place your hand upon that area. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that condition. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke that disease. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I command your bodies to line up with the Word of God that says, with His stripes, you are healed. Be healed, my friend, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pronounce you whole, peace, shalom, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I feel the release. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Friend, this coming week, don't be worried about all the news reports and all that. All right, look to the Lord. You are kept by the power of God. Believe Him. Now's the time to demonstrate His love, amen, to a lost, crying, sighing world, that Jesus is alive and He loves them and wants to come into their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. This coming week, the Lord Himself protect you by His power, guard you, keep you and your loved ones from every sickness, from every disease, from every danger, from all evil, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Father has delivered you from the authority of darkness and He has translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. The Lord favors you, and throughout this week, may you see the manifestation of the favor even in everything that you touch, in everything that you look at, in everything that you relate to. You see the favor of God abounding. May you be conscious of that favor throughout this week. And may you feed upon the breast of the Lord Jesus throughout this week, enjoying His love for you, His love for your family, and see the power of God executed on your behalf in every area of your life, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
The Bible tells us that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Can you see that His heart is always to heal? In fact, He has designed a special way for you to receive His healing, health, and wholeness today.
Today, for the first time ever, receive Joseph's book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Discover the power of the Holy Communion and God's healing promises that will release life, health, and healing to you. Here are some testimonials of people who have read this book. Doctors told me it was unlikely the cancer in my breast would be gone, even with surgery. But as I partook of the Holy Communion daily, I was completely delivered from the cancer after surgery. I now partake of the Holy Communion with a greater revelation and have been healed of a painful, frozen left shoulder. We believe that you will be greatly blessed by this book too. And for a gift of $75 or more, you'll also receive the new Unlock the Healing Power of the Communion CD and DVD series. Learn how the Holy Communion is an intimate time of remembering the Lord and receiving His love afresh.
I'm praying for you and believing with you that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Request these powerful resources today. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Hi, I'm Joseph Prince, and I'll be your personal guide helping you discover the land of Israel. My brand new book, Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked. Through this book, I take you on a 10-day visual journey to discover Israel as if I were your personal guide. We'll explore the region of Galilee, where our Lord Jesus calmed the storms, multiplied the loaves and fishes. We'll also be visiting the old city of Jerusalem, where his passion took place and where the early church was born. There's just something about being in Israel. The Bible comes alive in a special and intimate way. Everything about it, its rich history and culture, its topography and its landscape. Everywhere you turn and in everything you look at, the rocks, the trees, the ancient practices are pictures of our Lord Jesus and what he has done for us at the cross. As we explore Israel together through this book, my prayer is that you will see a living Savior in this ancient land. Join me to encounter Jesus in a deep and personal way through the pages of this book, and your life will never be the same.
Pre-order your copy of Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org/pre-order today.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.